Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call again. Today we are very, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji before handing the call to Prabhuji. Tiffany Mataji, you can please go ahead and give the brief introduction about the Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Madan. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji was born in Maharashtra, India in 1980. Brought up in a social background where spirituality was often questioned, he developed a natural taste for inquiry into the mysteries of God's creation. Prabhuji passed College of Engineering in Pune in Mechanical Engineering in 2003. He came in touch with the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in 2003, and he found all his questions answered in the books of Srila Prabhupada. As an MBA student of finance, he studied Srila Prabhupada's books and became a sincere practitioner. He joined the NCDEX, or National Commodities and Derivatives Exchange in Mumbai, as assistant manager and worked for 3 years. Later, he took on a 2-year brahmachari training course in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Mumbai and was initiated into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2010. Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji always wanted to share his joy for Krishna consciousness with the youth. He gave up his job and began serving in the youth preaching department. He joined ISKCON Chaupati as a resident in 2009. Later, he was posted in the ISKCON Nasik Temple. He is serving as a youth counselor in various colleges in Nasik. He conducts seminars on personality development topics and educational and corporate sectors. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
All goes
to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your very valuable time and association to us. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us today on Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Chanto, 1st Chapter, 17th Verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to you.
So let's start by offering our prayers. Om Akyanatimirandasya Jnana Janashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Guru Vaishnavash Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lilita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Shichan Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamne Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshadarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangam Langai Tigrim, Yatkribatam Mundi Shri Guru Dinatarinam, Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Paramanandavad. Hare Krishna. So, we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 17. Bhayam Pramattasya Vaneshva Pisyat Yatas Aste Sahasat Sapatna Jitendriyasyatmarater buddhasya grahashramah kimnu karotyavatyam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he is living with his 6 co-wives, the mind and the knowledge acquiring senses. Even householder life, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied, a learned man who has conquered his senses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Griheva Vanete Thako, Aha Gauranga Baledako. Whether one is situated in forest or at home, if he is engaged in devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, he is a liberated person. Here, this is also repeated. For one who has not controlled his senses, going to forest to become a so-called yogi is meaningless, because his uncontrolled mind and senses are going with him. cannot achieve anything even by giving up household life and staying in forest. Formerly, many mercantile men from the upcountry of India used to go to Bengal, and thus there is a familiar saying, if you go to Bengal, your fortune will go with you. Our first concern, therefore, should be to control the senses, and since the senses cannot be controlled unless engaged in devotional service of the Lord, our most important duty is to engage the senses in devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Bhakti means engagement of the purified senses in the service of the Lord. Herein, Lord Brahma indicates that instead of going to forest with uncontrolled senses, it is better and more secure to engage the senses in service of the Lord. Even household life can do no harm to a self-controlled person acting in this way. It cannot force him into material bondage. Srila Rupa Goswami has further enunciated this position. Yaha yasse harer dase karmana manasagira nikilashvapyavastasu jivan muktasa uchyate. Regardless of one's circumstances, if one fully engages his activities, mind and words in devotional service of the Lord, he should be understood to be a liberated person. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a responsible officer and a householder, yet his services to the cause of expanding the mission of Lord Chaitanya is unique. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, Durantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Prodkhata Damstrayate. The sense organs are certainly our greatest enemies, and they are therefore compared to venomous serpents. However, if a venomous serpent is bereft of its poisonous fangs, it is no longer fearful. Similarly, if the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no need to fear their activities. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement move within the material world, but because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, they are always aloof from the material world. They are always living in transcendental position. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for this Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I'm grateful to all the devotees for allowing me to make this presentation. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Purana, which is exclusively meant to be relished every day, every moment, in the association of devotees. And what better place it could be than this Bhakti Sangha group, where all the like-minded devotees come every single day. Even at holidays, there is no holiday, because it is said that when a person likes something to do, then holiday doesn't exist for him. So that's the same thing for all the devotees here on this group. So it's a great privilege to be amongst all the like-minded devotees. Thank you so much for allowing me to make a presentation. So here at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving the example of comparing the senses with a snake. A snake is dangerous only when it is filled with poison. The teeth which carries the poison from the poison bag and is injected into any person. But when an expert tamer tames the snake and he pulls out the poisonous teeth, then even though the snake may be dangerous, but the part which is dangerous is already removed. That is the poisonous fangs. Similarly, Prabhupada compares the sense organs to the snake. The senses can only do damage to any sadhaka when they carry the poison of material sense enjoyment. But as soon as the propensity for material sense enjoyment is reduced or it is gone, then the same senses become harmless, just like a snake which is without the poisonous teeth. So the point which Prabhupada is desiring to drive through this episode of Priyavrat Maharaj is, he wants to highlight that it is not about being in an ashram. you can be a brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha or sannyasi, any ashram. It is not about the ashram part. It is basically about three things. First is the level of desire to enjoy the material objects. Any person, what is his level of desire to enjoy the material object? Second is his capacity to handle the enjoyment propensity. And the third is the process of purification that the individual is willing to accept based on his previous and present conditions. So when these three things are understood, then a method is given to counteract the current situation. Just like in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, Krishna suggests Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga as means of purification. But that is based on the level of grasping of an individual. Since Arjuna was a warrior, so for him it would have been very difficult to all of a sudden give up his Kshatriya course of life and take to a sannyas course of life or a renounce order course of life. So the point is, it is again the same thing Prabhupada is bringing, not about ashram or being in a certain place, a defined place. No, it is all about what are the propensities of that person. Because Prabhupada is saying that wherever we go, there is a team of six people who we have to take with us always. And what are the six people? These are five knowledge acquiring senses and the master of the knowledge acquiring senses, the mind. So these six senses are compared to the co-wives. So every individual has to handle this six people because it's a team. It's like a team and it's a team effort. It's not a one-way effort. We all have to work harmoniously with the six people. Most of the time we are asked about the question how to handle the mind or how to deal with the mind issues. So the first thing that we have to understand, Prabhupada is trying to bring out this through this co-wife example, is when we first have to, what we have to do is we have to make the mind understanding what we are doing. Just like Arjuna wants to renounce all of a sudden. But for Arjuna to renounce, first he has to take his mind into consideration. The training for those past years that he has been giving to the mind, that has to be taken into consideration. So switching from one zone to another is a very, what we can say is an art. It's not something that we can do anyhow. That is why when somebody becomes a devotee or somebody takes to the process of devotional service, his moving from one step to another has to be done very cautiously or consciously, because we have to consider the past of that person, his past conditionings, from what background this person has come from. So all these things have to be taken into consideration. And that is why when we enter in doing something new, the most easiest way is to tell the positive effects to the mind, that my dear mind, we have to get up in the morning. Why? That is the next question. Why? Because we have to jot down the benefits of getting up, and that we have to keep on repeating time and again, time and again. And there is a point that the mind starts accepting this and it will follow your order. We don't consider our senses as our teammate. We are a team. We are not individuals. Since we are a spirit soul having a human experience, and in that human experience, the senses and the mind is a predominating factor. So we have to work in tandem with them. We are not alone here. That is why most of the time when people ask about mind control, first we have to ourselves understand that where is the time in this previous years of devotional service we have celebrated with our mind. When have we told our mind, my dear mind, thank you so much. For last 15 years, we were wearing a different kind of dress and now we have shifted and you have so nicely accepted the change. I am so grateful to you. Thank you so much. When have we told our mind that, mind, I am so thankful to you that you have made a drastic change in food habits. I am so grateful to you. Thank you, mind, that you have helped me take to this process sincerely and seriously over this period of time. Thank you so much. When we express our gratitude, it's just like expressing gratitude to our teammates with whom we are working. And that is the main factor. We have to spend time with our mind, understanding what it needs. And then we can expect some reciprocation from the mind. Otherwise, it will always be rebellious. That is why the point we Prabhupada is trying to drive is the senses are material. So it is natural for them to seek pleasure in material things. It is not their fault. Their makeup is like that. The problem is we are spirit and the team with which we have to work is material. This is where the main problem comes into picture. And that is solved by, just like in Gita, we have yukta ahar vihar. So what is yukta? Balance. We have to gradually make that shift. And then we can expect some reciprocation from the senses. Now the best part is, even though this material senses are naturally attracted to material sense enjoyment, the best part is that we can spiritualize them. Prabhupada always gives this example. When an iron rod is put in fire, it changes its property. It doesn't remain an iron rod, a cold iron rod. It becomes red hot fire. If you touch it, your hands will surely burn. So the point Prabhupada is trying is the training required to spiritualize the senses. And once that training is done properly, then that poison is automatically removed. And this is all given in our Varnashram system. And that is why Prabhupada is always stressing Varnashram system, Varnashram system. Because in Varnashram system, for a Brahmana, sannyas is compulsory. For a Kshatriya, Vanaprastha is compulsory. Vaishya may take to Vanaprastha. But he has to make that attempt. For Shudra, there is no compulsion. He has to stay at home and serve the other three categories. That is how he makes progress. And that is why in Kali Yuga, it is said, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, all are Shudras. So to force somebody to completely detach from the household life, why it is so difficult in this time? Because in Kali Yuga, all are born Shudras. So what is given by Prabhupada is the best policy, that you stay at home and remain detached by practicing devotional service to Lord Krishna. Just like how this acts, the simple example we could give, that different things for different varnas. Just like if we eat halwa, we all know that halwa is made in ghee. Now when we eat halwa, we use our hands when we eat it. Now, two things happen. When we eat halwa with our hands, the ghee sticks to the hands. And when we finish eating, when we wash our hands, we have to use soap because it has got stuck. But if the ghee is of good quality, I'm not speaking of dalda, I'm speaking of a good quality, pure ghee. And when we eat that halwa, the ghee will not stick inside my mouth. But on hands, it is surely there. So the position of the hand is different and the position of the mouth is different, even though both are handling the same object. Similarly, Brahmana is able to handle the renunciation on an easier basis because he's always in the mode of goodness. For others, it is difficult. They have to use soap to remove that enjoyment tendency because Kshatriya and the other three Varnas, for them, it is like hands because it has got stuck. So they have to use the soap of devotional service. And when they use the soap of devotional service, then that enjoying propensity is automatically removed. But for tongue, it is very easy. It just swallows in and everything enters the stomach. So there are four stages of any person. First is he is sometimes, or you can say four categories of people. First is attached. Some people are attached, so attached to sense enjoyment that they cannot give it up. Some second category is what Gita says as mithyachara so uchyate. They are mithyacharis, mithya achar, fake. Something inside is different, outside is different. That's called mithya achar, behavior. There is contradiction in the behavior. Then there is a third case, that is the sadhaka. And then we have the Jivan Mukta, the NOD verse that Srila Prabhupada is quoting here. Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta is somebody who is like a lotus flower. Lotus flower grows up in the mud, but mud and water never touches the lotus flower, the lotus leaf especially. It will just drain out. So these are the four categories. Attached, Mithyachar, Sadhaka and Jivan Mukta. So if we try and dwell into all these categories, then we'll find so many examples from Srimad Bhagavatam that only through devotional service these people have been able to come out of this ghee-like attachment of sense enjoyment. For example, if we take the first example of the attached category, then the most striking example from Canto 1 is Dhritarashtra. His name himself suggests that how attached he was to the kingdom. His name is Dhritarashtra, who was determined to get the kingdom. This is Dhritarashtra. He was so attached, at the end of his life, Vidurji had to come back from the Tirtha Yatra and chastise him so heavily. And that is how he was able to give up. He was so attached that he was, at that point, he was able to give up his desire for sense enjoyment. And for his desire, because the first shloka of Bhagavad Gita, he is asking, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do? Now, there was no need because he knew that there are on the battlefield. Then why did he ask so? Because he was burning with the desire for the war to take place. Why did he want the war? Because he wanted the kingdom for himself and there was no other means for gaining the kingdom that was left. And that is why he was worried. That is why he is asking Sanjay, what did my sons and do? Did they come back home? Did they give up by the influence of the pious place called Kurukshetra? No, he didn't want that. And that is why he is asking this question. So Mahabharata war took place because of the adamant nature of two people, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. That is what the acharyas give in their commentary in this first shloka. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes this in Bhagavad Gita first chapter. So this is the attached category. They are not ready to give up anything. In the upcoming chapters also, we will see the son of Priyavrat Maharaj. He was attached to getting a good wife. And that is how he goes and performs tapasya. But all the while, when he hears the whole endeavor of tapasya, he did only to get good wife. And when that lady came, he automatically forgot everything. So again, it is on what level a person is. Is he too attached or is he a mithyachari, a sadhaka, or jivan mukta, and then accordingly things have to flow. So it is not about going and staying in a jungle. No, that is not necessary. Being in jungle is good if you can. But if not, what is the criteria? Are your six teammates working in tandem with you? If not, then better stay home. Just like in Rama, and the story comes about our Vibhandak Rishi and his son Rishyashringa. So Vibhandak Rishi, he was born from Kashyap Rishi. When Kashyap Rishi was meditating in the forest, all of a sudden from his mind, this Vibhandak Rishi, he took birth. And as soon as he took birth, he left his father and went into jungle for performing tapasya. And he was performing very strong tapasya. And as usual, Indra felt that he is about to take my place. And that is where he sends the heavenly damsels Urvashi. And Urvashi, being a heavenly damsel, she understands his mind that he is not into sense enjoyment. So me tempting him on the sensual level will be a total failure. And that is where she starts chanting Vedic mantras. And when she starts chanting Vedic mantras, automatically Vibhandak Rishi opens his eyes and he finds this lady standing there. And as soon as he opens his eyes, she falls at his feet and She requests that I want a son. I did all this tapasya exclusively to get a son from you. And if you don't fulfill my desire, I'll commit suicide. Now, Vibhandak Rishi, he has nothing to do with all these things, and he directly tells the Urvashi that, see, I am not interested in begetting any son. So forget that about we both coming together. But still, if you want a son, then I can extract my energy in the form of semen and give it to you. So immediately he extracts some part of his energy and drops it. And he says, do whatever you want. You forget and let me do my tapasya. And now this is all the more confusing for Urvashi. Then, and she understands that this person is no threat to Indra because he is not interested in any heavenly pleasures. So what she does, she takes the semen and inseminates into a deer. And that is how this Rishyashringa is born. Now see, there is one case, we all know the story of Rishyashringa, how he was tempted by the king, Romapad Maharaj. And he, Romapad Maharaj, for 12 years, there is no rain in his kingdom. And the Rishi suggests that you should get a brahmachari who is powerful enough and who has never engaged in any wrong deed. And this is where they find out Rishyashringa, and to tempt him, prostitutes are sent. And as soon as the same Rishyashringa, who has never had any contact with material sense object, neither through fragrance, neither through beautiful form, neither through beautiful sound or taste or touch, nothing. No five of his teammates were given any other input than just something that was very raw. Here is his father Vibhandak and here is Rishyashringa. Both are staying in forest. But as soon as Rishyashringa, he gets the first contact of the senses and the sense objects, he forgets everything. And is tempted and is taken to Romapad Maharaj's kingdom. The point is, it is not about staying in the forest. His father was also staying in forest and he got trained under his father, Vibhandak Rishi. But still he was not able to handle. So it is not about going to forest or renouncing all of a sudden all this thing. So that would make us land up in the category of mithyachar, because the desire to enjoy has not gone, but still we are taking that bold step to renounce all of a sudden. Just like in Gita, Krishna is saying mithyachara sa uchyate. Mithyachar means something is he is desiring to enjoy, but externally he is giving up. So that external giving up is of no use, because enjoyment is also considered more stronger than the level of on the level of mind than on the gross level. The sanskaras created by the enjoying propensity on the level of mind is more stronger than the gross senses. So he's causing more harm to himself, a mithyachari. And that is what we have to understand, that are we mithyacharis or are we attached? Or are we sadhakas? Or are we students? Student, a sadhaka means surely there will be a time when there will be a fall. May not be exactly fall, but a small diversion from the straight path, the highway path of devotional service. Sadhaka means a student. A student means there is better chances of him going wrong. Just like we have Saubhuri Muni. Saubhuri Muni, he was trying his best to perform tapasya inside waters. But due to some mistake, he got diverted. But later on, he was brought back by Lord Krishna by giving him the internal renunciation. And he was able to come back to his original position of staying in the forest and trying to control the senses. And that is why Daksha Prajapati, when Narad Muni makes his 11,000 sons into sadhus and the renounce order, what is he saying to Narad Muni? He is saying, do you know, Narad Muni, that these sons of mine have not tasted the sharpness of the sense objects. So tomorrow, if some sense object crosses their way and then they get the taste, there is chance of diversion. This is the point he is making. The sharpness of the senses. But then Prabhupada writes in the purport that it is not necessary for everyone to taste the sharpness of the sense objects. We can become clever by hearing also. So no need to enter that stage and experience the sharpness of the senses and then get cut and bleed and then understand, okay, this is harmful. No, it's not needed. But for that, we need proper guidance. Otherwise, then we have the example of even Jivan Mukta coming down to another level of, you can say, not exactly to a lower level, but they getting completely diverted. And we saw this in case of Bharat Maharaj. He was a Jivan Mukta in himself. But being a Jivan Mukta, still he got diverted and got attached to a deer. So that is what is the sharpness of the sense object. This is what Daksha is speaking. This is the sharpness of the sense object, that even the Jivan Mukta like Bharat Maharaj can get diverted. So to stay in a community or stay alone has to be decided based on the attraction of sense object that the individual carries, the samskaras of the previous experiences, of the sensual experiences that he had, and the kind of process that he is ready to take for as a means of purification. That is what has to be understood, and that is where the fourth category comes as Jivan Mukta. Ya yasse arirta se karmana manasa gira. Karmana means action, manasa means on the level of mind, gira means on the level of words. Nikhilashva apyavastasu Jivan Mukta se, who is constantly thinking about Krishna on these three levels, is called a Jivan Mukta. Then for the Jivan Mukta, there is no obligation. He may stay in the family, he may stay in this forest, it doesn't matter for him, because all his six teammates are in unison. What is that unison? That we all desire to serve Lord Krishna only. That's it. We don't want anything else. That is the unison, all the six teammates and the seventh Jiva, they are in unison. And that is what is the Jivan Mukta stage. Just like we see Prahlad Maharaj. Now Prahlad Maharaj, right from his childhood to his end and till date in Suta Laloka, he's staying at home with his grandson. Now, do we call him a sadhaka or an attached person, attached householder? No, he's not an attached householder. He's a Jivan Mukta. That can be seen by his own behavior. Staying there in Sutala Loka, he is continuously chanting the glories of Lord Narasimha Dev. We can see Bhishma Dev in Canto 1. He was in full-fledged opulences. All sense objects roaming around and being in the such heavy loads of sense objects, he still was unaffected. Why? Because he was a Jivan Mukta. He was constantly meditating on Lord Narayan. We can see Jivan Mukta in the case of Lord Brahma. At the dawn of creation, he was all alone, nobody anywhere. But he was chanting the names of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. And we can see so many others. We can see Shukdev Goswami in first canto itself. As soon as he was born, he leaves home. Is completely, he has no clothes, only the directions are his clothes. But he is totally unaffected. Why? Because he is constantly meditating, initially on Brahman and later on the personal qualities of Lord Krishna. So we have to understand the mindset, the change in the mindset that is required by an individual and the pace at which he is able to do it. If you take the case of Dhruva, Dhruva was not ready. He was so attached. He was so attached that he said, I don't want anything. See, we have two people going to jungle. Vishwamitra Muni, Prabhupada every now and then quotes Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni also went to jungle, but three times he had to get stopped and completely diverted. But Dhruva, being totally attached to get a kingdom, the best part of Dhruva was he had a proper bona fide guru who could give him proper direction, so as his spiritual side was also maintained and his material side was also maintained. And he made his spiritual side so strong that when the time for his desire to be fulfilled came, he said, I made a mistake. That is how he was saved. But initially he was so attached to getting a kingdom superior, to getting a revenge against his own stepmother. But then his case was handled properly. Proper means were given to him. So that is why when he returned from the forest, he was already a Jivan Mukta. And that is why his staying at home didn't make any difference. He again didn't have to go to forest. From there, he left to the spiritual world after rolling for 36,000 years. The same point Prabhupada is making, it is not about staying in the forest or staying at home. It is about what level are we and how ready are we for purification. That is what we have to understand. Gradually, gradually, everybody has to come to this platform of Jivan Mukta. Otherwise, we'll always be judging people based on their externals. And the best example we see is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now, Gadadhar Pandit himself is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. But when he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi for the first time, he judged him externally because that didn't fit into the definition of a Vaishnava. But later on, he came to a proper understanding when a trigger was given to Pundarik Vidyanidhi about the glories of Lord Krishna. And as soon as it triggered, he went into ecstasy. And that is where Gadadhar Pandit comes to an understanding that this person is not ordinary. And to beg offense, beg pardon from his offense, he then surrendered his life and accepted Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his guru. That is why the clear understanding of what is forest and what is home, it is different for different people based on their mindset. That is where we have to understand that what is the seclusion that Krishna is trying to tell here or Prabhupada is trying to mention here. That seclusion is how connected are we with Krishna. The connection with Krishna is the real seclusion that we have to understand. Real seclusion doesn't mean that we have to change the position. We don't have to change the situation. We have to just change the mindset by understanding the truth. Or else we'll just renounce the world in the wrong way. It will be a mishap for on a personal level and also on a social level. The reason to renounce is the full time service to Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. That's it. For example, we can see from the life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami was pure devotee at home as well. It was not that he was a sadhaka then. At home, he was a pure devotee as well. Even if he could have got married, he would have been a pure devotee only. Then why did he renounce the world? It was not because he was being tortured by his family members, but he wanted that full-time dedicated service to Sri Hari, Guru and Vaishnava. So that is the meaning of renunciation. It doesn't depend upon the place or time or circumstances. No, it depends upon the purpose for which it has been done. It is a life of sacrifice. So sacrifice you can do staying at home as well, or you can stay as a renunciate in the forest or in an ashram and still keep on sacrificing for a higher cause. So decision, in this case, we see that now what to do, whether to stay at home or whether to go in the forest or stay in the forest, go home or stay in the forest. There is a confusion because two immediate authorities, father and guru, both are absolutely different. Father is saying come back home, guru is saying stay here, what to do? And these both his immediate authorities are pure devotees, they are Mahajans. One is saying renounce, other is saying no need for artificial renunciation. Stay in the world and perform the duties. Now, which authority will you find? Prabhupada makes it very clear, you have to follow that authority who understands the mind of the Supreme Lord. Tene brahmaridhya adhikavaye muyyantiyatsu. Brahmaji comes and Brahmaji is the one whom Lord revealed the entire knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam from within. Tene brahmaridhyadikavaye. And when that authority of both his authorities come, that is where it becomes easier for Priyavrat Maharaj to make decision. Because that decision was based on what was favorable for his Krishna consciousness and also for the Krishna consciousness of others. It is not that Priyavrat Maharaj was not able to stay there and that is why this situation arose. No, it's not like that. He would have been happier there also, but it was for the society as well. Loka sangraham evapi. Krishna again and again repeats this word, loka sangra, loka sangra. And the Gita is not spoken for Arjuna, it is spoken for the benefit of the general masses. And this was the time when Krishna wanted an authoritative person to guide the general masses in Krishna consciousness. Since there was no king and Priyavrat was the only king left at that time, was qualified enough. Again, it is not on the birth basis, it is on the quality basis. He was the only qualified person and that is why Krishna through Brahmaji told him that. And then when he took that as his order, then staying in forest and staying in that highly palatial places made no difference to Priyavrat Maharaj. Somebody may say he got diverted. It's okay. Krishna told him to do, so it became the duty of Krishna to protect him. And when he got diverted, Krishna made proper arrangements for him to come back online. That is the benefit when we follow the authorities. And that is what we see here in the case of Priyavrat Maharaj. Decision was based on how best we can serve Krishna. So how to stay in this world? It is very simple. You just have to change your mindset. That's it. Whether we want to do it for ourselves or we have to do it for Krishna. Just like the simple example. You have a lock and a key. There is one key, but just based on the shift of the direction of the key, the lock gets locked or it gets unlocked. Key is one. If you move it like this, it gets open. If you do it like this, it gets closed. Similarly, when we do our duties for our own self, for our own sense enjoyment, it is like getting locked in this material world. But when we do the same duties for Krishna, it is like getting unlocked. If we associate with the worldly men, it is like getting locked in this material world. And when we associate, association is common. But where do we associate? When we take the association of the devotees, it is like unlocking from this material world and going back. There's a small story that I remember. There was one king. And he was frustrated with these kingly duties. Every day, so many cases he had to handle, and day and night working. And he was also aging, and he was worried as who would be the next king. So, in that frustration, he came to his guru and he asked his guru that I don't want to be a king anymore and I just want to leave the kingdom and go somewhere and stay in the forest. His guru said, okay, then why don't you give that kingdom to me? The king said, what? You want the kingdom? He said, yes, give it to me. I'll become the king, the guru is saying. And the king was very happy. He said, okay, you just take it. I will be more than happy. So he said, oh, no, not like this. You'll have to chant the mantras and then transfer the entire kingdom to me. He said, okay. So they got Ganga Jal, then they chanted Om and the mantras, and the king transferred. And the king was now happy. He said, that's it. I'm going now. His guru said, okay, now you can go. And as the king was about to walk, the guru called him back and said, okay, but now you have been the king for so long. What will you be doing? The king said, I'll find a small job for myself and just live a simple life. The guru told the king that, see, I have a big kingdom now to handle and I need an experienced person to handle my kingdom. So would you like to take that post on my behalf? And the king said, I'm happy. No problem. I can do it for you. But guru said, mind you, it's my kingdom. You are just working for me. King said, yes, I am happy. And the king joined his duties from the next day. He was doing all the court work and this and that. And everything was nice. After 6 months, the guru called his king disciple and he asked him, how is life going on? He says, life is really cool, Guruji. And I am happy with the work. Then the guru asked him, by the way, you are doing the same job that you used to be doing as the king. What has changed? That is where the king realizes that the mindset has changed from working for myself to working on behalf of someone else. Similarly, when family society is handled as property of Krishna and our contribution to that society of Krishna, then automatic detachment takes place. Just like the king now started working for his guru and he was relaxed because it was not his botheration what will happen, this will happen or that will happen. He's not attached to the results. He's just attached to doing the work, his duties. That is what Krishna told Arjuna in the third chapter. You do it for me and don't bother about the results. When one is attached to the result, then botheration starts. That is how we have to stay in this world. Because the same elements will be same. But if we use for ourselves, it will bind. If we use it for Krishna, who is the owner of this world, automatically we will not be involved in it. So we have to understand what is the real danger. The real danger is sense enjoyment propensity, not sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment is the nature of the soul. The propensity to enjoy matter, which is not the real constitution of the soul. The real constitution is to enjoy in service of Krishna. Yes, we can enjoy. We have to enjoy because that is what we had been doing all the time when we were with Krishna. We were enjoying there. We were not suffering in the spiritual world. We were enjoying. That's our nature. That is why we are made. But what to enjoy? Spiritual enjoyment of service to Krishna or the matter, possessiveness to matter, that we have to understand. Just like Prabhupada, when George Harrison came to Prabhupada and said that I want to renounce the world, Prabhupada said that is foolish. You don't need to do that. You just sing, you do your profession, thousands and thousands and millions of people are following you. Just chant for Krishna. And that is how he got that my sweet Lord and thousands of people took. Prabhupada said, we all sannyasis put together cannot preach the holy name as you can do from your level. And that is how George Harrison made that and it sold in millions. And thousands of people were chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna became a local, it was chanted in every house. So all decisions where to stay are based on how best we can serve Krishna. And what is the mood? As a servant of Krishna, not servant of Krishna, servant of Krishna. His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and sadhus, especially sadhus used to come to meet him. He would ask them one question. He said, if you answer this question properly, I will give time to you. Otherwise, I'm totally busy. And what was the question? Are you Krishna's servant? And when that person used to say yes, he said, I have no time for you. You may please go. And when that sadhu used to say, no, I am not servant of Krishna. I am servant of Krishna. Then he said, I have all the time. And he used to sit with him hours discussing Krishna Katha. So that is the proper understanding that we get through the purports of Srila Prabhupada if we read them properly. Also today is the appearance day of one of the Nitya Siddha Parishadas of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we would like to speak something about them as well. Just a minute, I have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is so much to say, but the time is so short. We have the disappearance day, sorry, not appearance, but disappearance day of Ramachandra Kaviraj. Who is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And he has so many beautiful pastimes about him doing so many wonderful services for his guru. And he was so close to Narottam Das Thakur that even though his guru was Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur were closest of the friend, dearest of the friend. But that Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Narottama Mange Ramachandra Sangha. He says, I want the association of Ramachandra Sangham again, Narottama Das. That was the level at which Ramachandra Kaviraj was exhibiting his Vaishnava qualities. And it is said that Ramachandra Kaviraj was so beautiful that during his marriage procession, the marriage ceremony that was being carried, and he was sitting on a horse and he was being carried, people were waiting, they were stopping at their place and continuously watching the beautiful lotus-like face of Ramachandra Kaviraj. That was the beauty. And not only that, even when his Guru Maharaj saw the beauty of Ramachandra Kaviraj, Srinivas Acharya, when he saw this, he was asking, who is this person? And that is the time when Ramachandra Kaviraj is going through the marriage procession, and here Srinivas Acharya is discussing Bhagavat. Both of them see each other for the first time, and in the first glance itself, there was tremendous joy that was erupting in the heart of Ramachandra Kaviraj. And that is where he feels extraordinary feelings for Srinivas Acharya. And later on, we know that he took initiation from Srinivas Acharya. This was the time when all the Brahmins were against Srinivas Acharya because they were thinking that he is not from a Brahmin caste and he is still preaching. So they all tried to stop his preaching by complaining to King Narasimha. And that is where this King Narasimha, he gets the Pandit Rup Narayan. And he gets Rup Narayan, and Rup Narayan comes with his entourage, and at the boundary of the village, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramachandra Kaviraj, they both dress, one dress as a betel nut seller, other as a potter, and they're discussing the difficult and the most very basic details and to great length from all the Vedas and the Upanishads. And just by hearing a potter and a betel nut seller both interacting in Sanskrit, they go and ask him, whose disciple are you? Then they are saying, we are disciples of Srinivas Acharya. So when Rup Narayan, he hears that if the disciples, one who is a potter and another is a betel nut seller, if they have so much of knowledge, what would be the length and depth of Srinivas Acharya's knowledge in the Shastras? From there, they leave that place and they go back. And that night, this Rup Narayan, who was a devout worshipper of Durga Devi, she appears and threatens to destroy the king and himself. And she is telling this Rup Narayan that you go and fall at the feet and beg forgiveness from Narottam Das Thakur and the devotees from there. And that is where he goes and begs forgiveness at the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. So these are the wonderful pastimes where we can see the depth at which they are functioning. They are the eternal associates of the Lord. Srinivas Acharya, who is the incarnation of Mani Manjari. So once what happened, Srinivas Acharya was absorbed in the pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan, and there he finds Radharani was playing with her sakis, and that is where her nose ring fell. And in that sakhi, in that mood of Mani Manjari, so Srinivas Acharya is now functioning in the spiritual world at the same time. And there he enters the Leela of finding the nose ring of Radharani. And a day passes and two, and still Srinivas Acharya on this platform is not coming out from his meditation. And that is where his wives, they start crying and they call for Ramachandra Kaviraj. And Ramachandra Kaviraj, he sees the very fine breathing because he puts a cotton thread at the nose of Srinivas Acharya. And he could find that he is in deep trance. And he sits next to him in meditation and enters the Leela where they are all searching for the nose ring. And he assists Mani Manjari, his spiritual master, Srinivas Acharya, and he finds the nose ring. And when he finds that nose ring, he directly doesn't go and give it to Srimati Radharani. He goes and first gives it to his Guru Maharaj, Srinivas Acharya, Mani Manjari. And through the entire parampara from Rupa Manjari, then Lalita Devi, and then it comes to Srimati Radharani. So these are the Vaishnava Acharyas. And their lives that we have to be following. I was just reading an article written by His Holiness Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami Maharaj, where he narrates one of his events when he was in Vrindavan, staying there. And in that event, he is saying that how every day we should offer thousands of obeisances to the not to Lord Krishna, to the associates of Lord in Vrindavan Dham. So there is where he recalls an event where he, in Vrindavan, he was at night, he was just roaming around Nidivan, and he had one friend, a Vrajvasi friend, and that was Vrajvasi friend saw Maharaj and he asked, what are you doing alone at night? He said, I want to meet a devotee of Lord Krishna who is incessantly chanting the names of Lord Krishna. He said, I know one, come with me. So immediately they both sat on the scooter and they left. And on the way, that merchant, he took a raw papaya and they left for a place. And it was somewhere in the corners and it was a small place. And this person, he knocked the door. And somebody, all of a sudden, he was into something and he had come out, and they both started asking him that, we need your time, please. He said, I'm in between of something. I can't spend much time with you. Please tell me what you want. And there Maharaj asked him, what is your schedule? Two questions Maharaj asked, what is your schedule? Then he started saying that I wake up at 4 in the morning. And as soon as I wake up 4 in the morning, I keep on chanting till 5:30 in the evening. And after 5:30, then somebody every day gets me a raw papaya. I just cook that raw papaya, put some salt and something, and offer it to a photo of Radha Madhava he has. And he just eats it and again chants, keep on chanting till 1 p.m. in the night. And at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., he takes rest and rest of the day he chants. And in between, yes, in between, he offers 1,000 obeisances to the associates of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan Dham, to Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, all that he could recall, 1,000 obeisances to the associates of Lord Krishna, so that someday he may get an entrance in Vrindavan Dham. And that is where Maharaj was so shocked that he is offering 1,000 obeisances every day and incessantly chanting. Then Maharaj asked him, do you cry while chanting? Then he said, when I was in Puri and there at the Samadhi of Srila Haridas Thakur, I used to incessantly cry. But after that, I have come to Vrindavan, but I don't cry here because I don't have those kind of emotions. Maybe I may have committed some offense to some devotee, and that is why I'm not able to cry here. I'm not feeling that separation, but still I'm trying my best. So Maharaj was sharing his experience with this wonderful Brajvasi, and he, Maharaj, at the end comments that after seeing him, I feel that it will take me a long time to go back in the eternal association of Lord Krishna and his wonderful devotees. So let keep praying to the associates of Lord Chaitanya, who are not different from the associates of Lord Krishna, so that someday we may also get this. We may also get this chance to be in the association of Lord Krishna and his eternal associates. Thank you all for your kind and patient hearing. Kindly excuse me if I have said something wrong. Please pardon me, considering me younger to all of you in devotional service. And if you have found something good, it is all belonging to Sri Guru and Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a nectarian class and giving so many examples about the Jivana Mukta, and also sharing the pastimes about Ramachandra Kaviraj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. And I request all the devotees, if anybody have any questions or realization, you can please go ahead.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Very, yes, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and thank you for the pastimes and glorification of Ramachandra Kaviraj. So I missed the point that who is he in Krishna Leela?
He is Manjiri in Krishna Leela. I forget his name, but he's a Manjiri. And he is assisting Guna Manjiri, who is Srinivas Acharya.
Srinivas Acharya is Guna Manjiri, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else has anything, or else we can wind up the class?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. A very, very inspiring class, Prabhuji. Thank you for your assistance.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. I just had one question. If you can please clarify. How would we differentiate a self-realized soul, a Jivan Mukta, and a devotee? And sometimes I get the feeling that, it is used in the same sense, but sometimes I feel there is some differences. And so are you able to throw some light?
You would like to know the difference between Jivan Mukta and what?
Self-realized soul, Jivan Mukta, and a devotee.
Self-realized and Jivan Mukta is same. Devotee, he can be Kanishta, Madhyam, or Uttam. So Uttam Adhikari is almost is a Jivan Mukta, and rest others we can classify based on their level of spiritual progress as Kanishta or Madhyam Adhikari. Otherwise, Jivan Mukta is one who can see everything in connection to Krishna. That is what definition Prabhupada gives, that he is able to see connection of all that is happening, all that is using, everything in connection to Krishna, and he does all his activities for the pleasure of Krishna. That is a Jivan Mukta, or Uttam Adhikari, we can also say him. And it's Sadhaka is one who is struggling with his Anartha, and then in that Sadhaka level also we have various shades based on their detachment from material life and attachment to Lord Krishna.
Okay, so at the perfected stage, they are all the same. That's what you said.
Yeah. Staying in this material world or staying in the spiritual world doesn't make any difference for them, because they are absolutely and every moment connected to Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Can I just follow up on your answer just now?
Yes, Mataji.
I was just wondering, this term Jivan Mukta, I'm wondering if the meaning can vary depending on the context. For example, can it sometimes mean a person who understands or realizes that he is spirit soul, you know, distinct from this body, but who may not understand his position as Krishna's eternal servant? You know, I'm wondering if Jivan Mukta can refer to such a person.
Jivan Mukta can refer to which person? Can you kindly repeat the last part?
Yes. Yes. Can it refer to a person who realizes that he is spirit energy, you know, rather than material energy? He realizes fully that he's not this body, but he does not yet understand or realize that he is Krishna's eternal servant.
Correct. You know, okay.
Can you call such a person Jivan Mukta?
No, he cannot be called a Jivan Mukta, because ultimately, just like in 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Rishabhdev's pastime, Rishabhdev instructing to his sons, 100 sons, there he quotes that who can get mukti, or who can be, who can liberate himself from this material world, is only when a person is able to understand his relation with Lord Krishna, and he has some love for Lord Krishna. Only then he can become a mukta. So just realizing that you are a spirit soul is not sufficient for him to get liberation from this material bondage.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah, that makes sense based on what I've heard previously also. But there is also I forget what the term is, Brahma. I forget what the term is for that
Brahma
person.
Jyoti?
No, not Brahma Jyoti. The person who is in that in-between stage, you know, who realizes he's super, that he's spirit soul, but doesn't realize that he's Krishna's servant. Is it Brahma Bhuta, that term? For
Brahma Vadi. Yeah, correct. You can call him Brahma Bhuta.
Yeah.
Because there is no Shochati, no Kangshiti. He has no desire. He is not lamenting for anything. But that in itself is incomplete to get him out of this material bondage. Because he may go to Brahma Jyoti, but from Brahma Jyoti, what will he be doing there? Yeah, the soul is active, is not passive. That is why Prabhupada, in most of his purport, they write, even if he goes to the Brahma Jyoti, he comes back again because he has no engagement. And that engagement is in relationship to Lord Krishna only.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my Dandavat Pranams. I had a question. Prabhuji, is self-realization different from Brahma Gyan?
Self-realization, Mataji, if you read the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, sadhaka enters in this sadhana practice, and as he goes ahead in his, he becomes mature in his realization, the first realization he gets is that he is not this body, he is something different from this body. That is where in Ashtanga Yoga Krishna describes it to Arjuna. So the first thing that he comes across is a very wonderful person which he sees in the mirror of the mind, and later he understands that this is me, he is so beautiful. So this is also a stage of self-realization where he has understood that he is not this body. He is a very beautiful and extraordinary person. Ahead of that, in sixth chapter itself, again, Krishna says that he later on comes to a realization that he is not alone in this body. There is somebody else on whose actual energy this body is functioning. And that is the second stage of Paramatma realization. But then when you come across that Paramatma realization, it is in itself incomplete, because what do you do with that knowledge? You understood that you are different, Paramatma is different. Then the third stage comes, just like we see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj sees the Paramatma, he is completely, he understands that, yes, this is it. Then when he opens his eyes, he sees Lord Vishnu in front of him. The same Paramatma, same looking person is standing in front of him. And that is where that relation is established between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva, that I can only be happy when I serve the Supreme Lord. So that becomes the complete realization.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Now it's very clear. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, sorry, I just got another thought in my mind. You were saying that the person who is in the Brahmajyoti returns back, but Brahmajyoti is part of the spiritual realm, right? So he does leave the material world and go to the spiritual realm, right?
Yes, thank you, Mataji. This question is you have to understand that Prabhupada, I don't exactly remember, but in second canto, Prabhupada writes, or I heard it from some senior devotee, and even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented that Brahma Jyoti for a spiritualist is the place between your Virja river and the Brahma Lok, where Lord Brahma stays. So when he has only realized the platform of soul and super soul, but the relationship has not been established, that is where he goes to this place, which is also in the purview of the material world. And after staying there, he feels highly incomplete, and then he returns back and again performs philanthropic activities or whatever according to his past karma. And then gradually he has to climb that yoga ladder, and somehow he has to get that touch of devotional service and a clear understanding that I am incomplete without Lord Krishna's service, and that is what makes me happy. So the Brahma Jyoti that is spoken is the part between Brahma Loka and Virja River. That is how he comes
so
back.
That is then, because the Virja River is what separates the spiritual and the material realm.
Correct.
Still inside the material realm, that's what she said.
Correct. That is why he comes back.
Oh, okay. I never heard of that one. So thanks so much for enlightening. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, can you... I got a little lost there when you were making this clarification about the demarcation between the spiritual and material world. So, as we say, the Viraja River, it creates the separation between the material and spiritual worlds. But the Brahma Jyoti, this is where I'm confused. So the Brahma Jyoti, what is the Is the entire Brahma Jyoti, I'm not sure about the relationship between the Brahma Jyoti and the Viraja River. Can you repeat that part?
Mataji was asking the question that Brahma Jyoti is the part of the spiritual world. So how can the Jiva come back from the spiritual world if he is Brahman realized?
Yes.
So the Brahma Jyoti is also referred to a part between the Brahma Loka and the Viraja River. So a person who has realized the, has only realization till the Paramatma Sakshatkar he has, then he will reach this place called Brahma Jyoti, which is between the Brahma Loka and Viraja River. And when he stays there for a long time and he realizes that I'm not feeling satisfied here, there is something lacking, and that is where he returns back to the earthly planet. And if he has, according to his progression, he comes in touch with devotees, practices devotional service, and that is how he goes back to the spiritual world.
Okay, so now the you said he goes up to that part of the Brahma Jyoti that's between Brahma Loka. Brahma Loka is in material world and the Viraja River. So it sounds like that part of the Brahma Jyoti is in the material world if it's between Brahma Loka and Viraja River, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Okay, so then he, so such a person doesn't really attain a spiritual locale then. He still is only in the material realm, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. You can see this place, slide which Mataji has shared. You can see this place.
Yeah, I'm on audio only, so I'm not able to see.
Oh, sorry. So here becomes very clear.
And then the other thing is, you know, a person who realizes that he is not his body, you know, I mean, that happiness cannot compare in any way to even the greatest material happiness. And so, you know, once you're relieved of that bodily conception, even though the soul is by nature active, I don't understand how he can really fall back to material activities. Because for another thing, you know, I believe he no longer has any karma. You know, once he has come to the Brahmabhuta platform, he no longer has karma. So it can't be karma that pulls him back.
Correct.
And as I said, you know, once having shed the bodily conception, you know, material activities should not hold any attraction for you at all. You know, it's such a freeing experience. So this fall back down to material existence for such a person, I'm not understanding so well.
It depends. First thing you have to understand is why the fall is, because Jiva is not static. He is dynamic entity.
Yes.
And a dynamic entity will always need some action to be performed.
Mm-hmm.
And this Brahma Jyoti, this place is, there is, this is the place where there is no action at all.
Mm-hmm.
A person who is so used to action, if you tell him to sit idle for such a long period of time, it is an unnatural state for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why to search for an alternative, he has to be sent back, because the drawback is he hasn't understood the gamut, the spiritual knowledge bank. He hasn't completely understood. He has reached to a partial understanding that I am not this body. I am a pure spirit soul. And there is another entity called Paramatma. But what is the relation and how they both function? That understanding of functioning is not there, and that is why he has to come back to function in some way, just like a jiva. Why does he need mother, father, love of mother, father, then love of siblings, then love of relatives, then love he finds, tries to find in some other person, and then in his kids, then in his in the society, and so many things. Why? Because this is an alternative that is alternative which is created here for the actual thing that is Krishna Prem. So that Krishna Prem, he is trying to search in through these varieties of relationship. So this is the alternative. He needs love, but he's finding an alternative. Similarly, the jiva who has gone to this Brahma Jyoti, he is acting against his natural nature, and that is why he comes back trying to somehow fulfill that.
Yes, this part I've understood. The only part that is a question for me still is that, you know, normally people in this material realm are here because of karma. But the person, that Brahma Buddha person who, you know, had attained that Brahma Buddha platform, he no longer has karma. I understand that, you know, the nature of the soul is to be active. But if it's not karma, so I guess, you know, a person can fall into, you know, in other words, I wonder, how is it determined which activities he's going to participate in, since it's not dictated by karma for him any longer, because he surpassed karma. You know, when he reached the Brahma Buddha stage, he transcended karma. So since it's not karma, since it's no longer karma that brings him back here, you know, I'm just wondering, how is it determined in which aspect of material life he will engage, you know?
Prabhupada writes that he will engage in philanthropic activities.
Karma. It's not these activities. I'm just trying to figure out, it's not...
No. What you're saying is absolutely correct. This is not karma-based. But these are all selfless activities.
These are all what?
The activities that which the person, when he comes down from this Brahma Jyoti platform and he again enters this material world, he'll be doing all selfless activities. Karma takes place only because the activities are selfish or self-centered. He's doing something or trying to get something by that activity. But this person has already reached a selfless, super selfless platform. And hence when he returns, he'll be doing activities which are totally selfless.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you very much for the clarification. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, is it okay we stop the class?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, little question. Like you were saying, between
Brahmalok
and Viraja River. So, where is that place? I don't know. Means this is Brahma Jyoti, this bigger part.
This Brahma Jyoti which you are pointing out, Mataji, this is the part of the spiritual world.
Yes.
Yeah. There is one more Brahma Jyoti that is in the realm of the material world.
Man.
That is between your Brahma Loka, which is a part, actually it is part of Brahma Loka, and the Jiva stays stationed there. So we are not speaking of this Brahma Jyoti which is seen here. But this Brahma Jyoti is part of the Brahma Loka.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, then do people go to the actual Brahma Jyoti? I mean, what kind of people go there, if at all, then?
Brahma Jyoti, I have heard from one Gaudiya scholar that yes, they do go there to this Brahma Jyoti of the spiritual world, which is the part of the spiritual realm. And they stay there. And from there, once they come to an understanding, now since that is a spiritual platform, so I don't know if there is a facility, but he said that from there, as they advanced in their understanding, they directly enter the spiritual world. So yes, people do go there, and from there they move into the personal relationship with the Lord.
So until they don't have a personal relationship. I mean, they still
that understanding is not there. That is why they reach that place. In Poshanam, Stiti and Poshan, Krishna's Vishwanatha Chakravarti says that is given according to the understanding of relation the entity has, or the spiritual understanding he has.
So at what stage one would go? I mean, please forgive me for this question, but it's just roiling me. What stage would one go to the material Brahmajyoti, and what stage would one go to the spiritual Brahmajyoti?
Spiritual Brahmajyoti, material Brahmajyoti is only that platform where he has understood. He has an understanding that of the impersonal form of the Lord. Just like Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti Shabdate, first canto says three features of the Lord. So he has only the impersonal understanding, but he has not reached the second level where he comes to a clear understanding of the relationship with the Lord. When that relationship is developed, then he will be able to cross the material world. Otherwise, he will be just like all his karma is wiped out, all his sensual desires are wiped out, the propensity for material enjoyment is wiped out. But the real thing is what? The real thing is whether he has understood where and whom I belong to. So when that is not clear, according to his spiritual advancement, he has to stay stationed in this place and he comes down again.
So you're saying second stage in the sense like one who is Paramatma realized, he goes to Brahmajyoti. That's what you're saying, Prabhu?
Paramatma realized is still the half realization. Still he won't be able to go there. You have to, just like Dhruva saw the Paramatma, but when that same Paramatma came out as the Supreme Lord, and that is where his relation with the Supreme Lord gets established, and when Lord Vishnu touches with this conch shell, he gets the complete knowledge. All his doubts are wiped out. And there he enters the loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. So even going to the spiritual Brahmajyoti of the spiritual world, that is still indicative of a person having spiritual knowledge, but it is not complete. Otherwise, why could he be desiring to merge into the Brahman effulgence? So entering the Brahmajyoti in itself is an indication that his knowledge is not still complete, because he is attracted to a feature of the Lord and not the Lord himself.
Okay, is Prabhu, I think it's going to take me some time to understand, because I don't get it. That, you know, you on one hand, you know, we're saying that a person who is Brahman or Paramatma realized is still within the material side of Brahmajyoti, and only a person who transcends that. So I'm thinking, so is that one level between the Paramatma and Bhagwan realization that the person goes to the spiritual Brahmajyoti? Or because you're saying unless one is, has the realization of Krishna, he cannot enter the spiritual realm. So in that case, I mean, I'm just wondering, if one has the understanding of Krishna, why would he or she even want to go to the Brahmajyoti and stay still there?
Exactly. That is what I'm saying. What you made the last point is the point. That's the answer to your question. If somebody has the very thing that he is desiring to enter the Brahmajyoti, means he hasn't tasted the service platform of interacting on a service platform with the Supreme Lord. His the taste what he has got is only about the impersonal form of the Lord or the impersonal feature of the Lord. That in itself is indicative of his what kind of taste he has had in his spiritual life or what realization he has had in his spiritual life.
But wouldn't such a person not even cross the material realm? I mean, how would he even enter the spiritual realm? I mean, who does not even realize that there is something called seva and that he needs to perform seva? So that kind of a person, how does he even cross the material realm? That's what I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Prabhu. I got a little confused.
Maybe I'll have to also work on this last thought. I may send something if I get a deeper understanding, maybe I'll be able to share with you in Greek. But this is what basic understanding what I have got.
Sure, that I shared with you. Sure, Prabhu. I really appreciate the time you took to answer my questions. I mean,
thank you.
I'm a little confused, but also I heard from another Prabhuji in a CC class that you know, people could go to Brahmajyoti and just stay there, you know. And it's very rare that a devotee association there. And I mean, it happens very rarely. He was giving the example of how Durvasa one time, you know, he very mercifully said that he would liberate all these souls in this Brahmajyoti. And he did like a kind of a presidential pardon. And, you know, that happens rarely. And so I also heard that people could stay indefinitely there in that Brahmajyoti platform.
You know, I heard similar thing too, Prabhu, you know, that, you know, that's why, you know, devil is so terrible for devotees to think of people going to the Brahmajyoti because in the Brahmajyoti, since no devotee would go there, because no service there, then those who land there is like they have no opportunity at all to advance beyond that because there's no devotee association there.
Correct.
Time for one more question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Madhuri.
I've just there was a class that was about the subject matter, and the devotee who is an exalted devotee was saying that at the last statement in the, I think he said the sutras said that they do not come back, and that we can't say that the founder Acharya Viscon and those statements in the sutras are conflicting. You have to find the common ground between them. And what he was basically saying, if I didn't quite comprehend it, because of course we've heard over and over that Srila Prabhupada says you fall back down because you're not satisfied. And what you said was that you become selfless and you engage yourself to the point that I guess through your works that you get Krishna's mercy and association. But this idea that you're presenting today that there's two Brahmajyotis, is that somewhere stated by Prabhupada also?
Not by Prabhupada, but it is there in Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. I can give you a reference in case you want it.
Okay, and then this whole idea of saying that when they reach Brahmajyoti, they never come back. That's the real Brahmajyoti, and what you were just
exactly.
saying a few minutes ago.
Yes, Mataji, you are correct now. Yeah, that's the one in the spiritual world.
So that whole class that we listened to that great devotee, he wasn't making reference to the second Brahmajyoti. So that's the one that you go in between.
Yeah,
this
usually is not very commonly spoken,
But
it is mentioned in the Acharya's commentary. And Prabhupada may not have directly mentioned because, you know, it's too confusing for many devotees to come to that proper. Now, since you are practicing and you're reading Srila Prabhupada's book to a great extent and in great depth, that is why you have that understanding and you are easily able to comprehend the entire thing. So Prabhupada may not have written because not all will be able to understand. And to make the point clear that devotional service is the main thing, Prabhupada is time and again highlighting on service to Krishna, the seva ananda that a jiva has to get through serving Lord Krishna.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your wonderful contribution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Very nice class and discussion. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Mataji. Nice to hear your voice after a long time.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you once again so much, Prabhuji, for such an enlightening class today, and really appreciated for such a wonderful answers and for each question. If nobody have any further questions, we can end the call here.
Yeah. And yes, I am just last one thing. Tiffany Mataji wrote a wonderful message here. And we are all with you, Mataji. Thank you for your comment. And we'll do as it is taught to us by Srila Prabhupada. And so, sorry if it has, if I'm in any way, maybe you have felt that I'm going against.
No.
Thank you. We are so happy that you reiterated the thing that is again and again taught by our Vartaman Acharyas. I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I just meant that I've been to so many classes on this matter, and
myself
follow Srila Prabhupada.
Yes. We are all with you, Mataji. We are all with you. We are your followers in this case.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.